she got a bad bitch. Say she recognize her G. Say she wanna roll, get to know OB. Claiming that she love everything he do. Hey, he got a bad bitch. Say she recognize her G. Say she wanna roll, get to know OB. Claiming that she love everything he do.
This is so trice, I done jumped out of heist, right into the microphone life, yeah this is right, this is less string.
What is happening people, On Deck Circle Podcast Volume 9, and I got a question for my guest, who hotter than me?
Anna Kournikova.
That's incorrect. Paul, how you doing buddy? Welcome back.
Good, hungover as shit, but ready to do this podcast and make some quality predictions that nobody can argue with.
And predictions, of course, we're talking about the NHL, let's hop right into it. NHL playoffs, let's go Eastern Conference, Montreal, Boston, who do you like?
This one is probably the easiest one you can have. Montreal won the season series 8-0. Carey Price is a fucking cyborg who doesn't have any feelings whatsoever, does not understand pressure. CHL goalie of the year, World Junior MVP, AHL playoff MVP, this kid is the shit. It's going to be in 5 games, I suspect Tim Thomas might steal 1 game, but they're going to get absolutely anal raped.
Yeah, about Carey Price, I saw an interview with him, and no exaggeration, this was the inflection in your voice. Carey, are you at all worried about the pressure in the playoffs? I'm not one of those guys who thinks about things. and that was it, verbatim right there. I like the Habs in 4. I don't think there's any way a game gets stolen by Timmy in net for the Bruins. Let's move on. It seems consensus on that one all across the internet world, especially on the ODC. Montreal's winning that one. Pittsburgh-Ottawa, a little more hotly debated, the 2-7.
I'd just like to throw out a big thank you to Mark Bell for absolutely destroying Daniel Alfredson and Mike Fisher. And
the best thing about that hit was that on the YouTube video, there's about 100,000 comments from Leaf fans saying, clean hit, or you deserve it, Alfredson.
It was a clean hit, man. You can't have your head down cutting across the middle.
And I saw the replays. The elbow didn't really come up that much.
Hey, come on. It wasn't even close.
I don't think Ottawa really stood much of a chance in this series anyways, the way they were playing down the stretch. Pittsburgh's got a lot of firepower and are healthy now. I like Pittsburgh in 5.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh in 5 as well. I think that maybe Healy and Spezza can steal a game. Possibly if Alfredson can come back later in the series, they might be able to make it close, but Gerber absolutely just shits his bed at home all the time. His wife's really pissed off at him. It's just going to be a bunch of shit everywhere. And
if he messes up, it's not like they've got a very trustworthy goalie backing him up. It's a guy who doesn't even show up to practice? We talk about practice? Ray Emery wants to be the Iverson / TO of the NHL, and he's going to be doing it on the bench this series and then on the golf course pretty soon. I'm wondering, are we going to disagree on anything here? We're going on to Washington, Philly now, and we talked about this one a little earlier before the podcast. I like the Capitals in 7. I just don't think you can stop Ovechkin no matter how hot the Flyers are.
I'm taking the same thing. I'm going to take the Capitals in 7. This guy put up 65 goals this year, the most since like 96 when Lemieux put up 69. He's the best player in the NHL.
I'm sorry, how many did Lemieux put up?
69? You guys like 69? Anyways, Capitals are on fire. They won 11-12 coming in. They're fast. Ovechkin wants it bad. Huey is hot coming in, too. I mean, it's going to be close. I mean, the Flyers are more physical, play more physical brand of hockey for the playoffs. So I'm going to take them in 7. Capitals win at home in OT with Ovechkin with the winner.
Wow. That's a bold prediction. I'm going to put this one, rubber stamp it, as my best series of the first round, I think. The dynamic of having a superstar scorer who also likes to bang, like Ovechkin, up against a banging team in Philly should make people love him even more than they already do. And the X factor here is Nicklas Backstrom. He's had a fantastic season, a little under the radar because of the Ovechkin hype, but he's a solid secondary scorer for that team.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, you can talk about Seaman, too. A lot of Seaman on that
team. I'm a big fan of Seaman.
Seaman's fantastic. I mean,
Seaman's hot right now.
Usually when Seaman comes out, I'm feeling pretty good. So I'm going to feel pretty good picking the Caps.
All right, me too. All right, now Devils-Rangers. I mean, looking at the first game from Wednesday night, the Rangers dominated them in a 4-1 victory. No part of the Devils game looked good. That said, it's Martin Brodeur, and I'm going to take the Devils in 7.
Whoa, that is quite the prediction. This is definitely a goaltender series. This is the two best defensive teams in the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, like, the Rangers have the offense. They didn't show up this year, but you have Gomez, Drury, Shanahan, Yager, Straka. Like, these guys can put up some points, and, like, they could explode at any time.
So that is the best NHL 2003 team you could come up with.
Truth
to that. If you're trying to fill up a PlayStation with goals, I'm not sure at this point they can put it past Brodeur consistently for a whole series.
I think they can. I mean, Lundqvist isn't that much of a step down than Brodeur, and I'm going to take the Rangers in six.
Cool. I'm glad to see we at least disagree on one. The West is a little more wide open, so we'll get talking about that right after the break. Bump, bump.
I'm trying to fuck you. Bump, bump back if you're trying to fuck too. Bump, bump. I'm trying to fuck you. Bump, bump back if you're trying to fuck too. Bump, bump. I'm trying to fuck you. Bump, bump back if you're trying to fuck too. Bump, bump. I'm trying to fuck you. Bump, bump back if you're trying to fuck too. Bump, bump. That mean I want the puss. If you bump, bump back, then you try to get took. You ain't even got a look. All you guys do is bump me. On the low, let me know that you want me.
We are bump, bump back. Talking about the NHL playoff picture, we just went through the East and agreed on three of the four series. Are you kidding me? Let's take a look at the West. Hopefully it's a little more wide open on the predictions front, but probably not in this first series. It's the perennial powerhouse Detroit Red Wings against the Major League's Cleveland Indians of the NHL, the Nashville Predators, a team that the owner wants to move so badly that he's trying to make them a bad team, and they just keep sneaking into the playoffs despite him.
The best thing about Nashville is the fans. They're just so diehard. Like, they come out in droves. They're always paying so much money for the tickets. It's a real hockey town. So
If you go through Tennessee, everyone's in a Predators jersey. Everyone's talking hockey.
I was down there, and like, it was swarmed. All they wanted to do was talk about the Predators and their playoff chances this year. But seriously, in all seriousness, they're going to get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, they don't have a chance against Detroit. They're too strong. They're too powerful. The only knock against them is that they have two over-the-hill goalies splitting time, and I'm not sure you can use a goalie platoon effectively in the playoffs, but otherwise, they're nothing but strengths.
I think they're going to roll with Hasek because he has the experience, but if that doesn't come through, they have Osgood as well, who's also won a cup. But they're so old. Like, Hasek's groin is going to go out. Like, it's eventual. I don't know if he's going to make it through the playoffs without his groin exploding.
I heard they hired their trainer right from a nursing home.
I heard that he gets groin massages every period.
From Pavel Datsyuk.
Yes, that's true. And Zetterberg's there watching.
Yeah, speaking of Zetterberg and Datsyuk, they're going to be tough to stop, especially for a team like Nashville, who I can only name three players on. So I think we're in consensus there. I'm saying Detroit in four.
I'm going to take Detroit in six.
You're going to give Nashville two wins just because of the rabid fan base. The
goaltending, man.
The seventh man, if you will.
Yes, the seventh man. I think Dan Ellis, he's got something to prove. And he's a good goalie. Wildly inconsistent, but I think he might be able to take two games. They might be able to win one at home, and he might still win.
He's the Wild Thing Vaughn of these Cleveland Indian Nashville Predators. All right, let's take a look at the next one. This one's a little more interesting to talk about, especially after the game Wednesday night. San Jose Calgary, who do you like here?
I've loved San Jose since the start, and I'm going to take San Jose again, but this has my rubber stamp as the most exciting playoff series this year. Two amazing teams. It's crazy how this happens in the West. It's always the best teams playing each other in the first round. Calgary with Phaneuf and Aginla are proven playoff performers. Kiprusoff can stand on his head, as we saw last night.
But 37 saves. It's true. Just an unreal performance.
I love San Jose. I mean, they just have so much firepower, and Brian Campbell like elevates their power play to where it wasn't before, and Evgeny Bakov, probably the best goaltender in the NHL this year, and I have to stick with San Jose, but I'm going to take them in seven.
All right, well, just for disagreement's sake, and because I'm maybe a little too Canadian, and because the Flames have a 1-0 series lead right now, I'm going to take the Flames. I'm going to take them in seven. I'm a little reluctant about that pick, though. Let's move on. Colorado-Minnesota. I don't think we're going to disagree here. I like Colorado in six games, I'm going to say. Minnesota's all right, and they're a fantastic defensive team, but Colorado's got it clicking right now.
I love Colorado. Ever since Foppa's back, and he's putting up back-to-back-to-back three-assist games, he's on fire with his line with Hajduk and Stastny. It's probably one of the best lines in the West right now. I just really like Colorado. For some reason, Minnesota's just getting a lot of love out there, and it's kind of strange.
It's a little unfounded.
Throughout the season, they haven't got any love, and they did win the conference, but I see Colorado, they're on fire on the stretch. They have playoff performers like Sakic and Hajduk.
And they have the best looking player in the NHL in Joe Sakic.
He's gorgeous.
My mom loves him almost as much as she loves Stevie Yzerman, but now that he's retired, Sakic is the number one heartthrob among 40-year-old moms.
And with 40-year-old moms, you know,
they're the ones coming out to the arena wearing their jerseys, screaming their lungs off.
Absolutely.
I think. I've never been to a hockey game, so I'm just assuming. Yeah, and who doesn't love a hot 40-year-old mom cheering on Joe Sakic? So we agree it's Colorado in six?
I like Colorado in six.
All right, let's go to the last one. Anaheim-Dallas. This is a tough one to call. I picked Anaheim preseason last year, and they won the Cup. So I picked them preseason this year, and there's no way I'm bailing on them at this point. I like Anaheim in five games against the Dallas Stars.
To be fair, I think that everybody picked Anaheim preseason last year. I as well. I'm going to take Anaheim in six. The best defense in the National Hockey League. Forwards are on fire. Corey Perry should be back soon. Ryan Getzlaf, one of the best plus-minus in the league. Sammy Paulson, best checking line. Like, they have it going on.
And Shiger is the man as well. Jiggy.
Yes, I love his neck beard.
What his neck beard?
Neared? Yeah. Neared? Is that what it's called?
I don't know the short form. I just call it the Drew Gooden or the Deshaun Stevenson. He needs to grow a full one, though, and we can call him the Baron Davis of the NHL, something the NHL desperately needs.
True. Best beard in the NHL, guarantees playoff MVP.
Yeah, and they've got him and Scott Niedermayer, so...
Who's also a fan favorite amongst 40-year-old
women. Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of good beards in that series.
And a lot of mom with
and
wet
speaking,
pants.
Yeah, Mike Modano's in that series, too.
Oh,
this is
shit.
The West is just way better than the
I'm
East as far as good-looking players go.
I'm going to have to TiVo that and substitute it for Red Tube at 3 in the morning.
Red Tube. All right, so those are our predictions. We're agreeing on six of these eight series. That is unreal. One thing I just noticed about our Eastern Conference predictions, and I hope to God we're right, we both picked seeds 1, 2, and 3 to win, which would mean in the second round, Pittsburgh, Washington, Crosby, Ovechkin. It doesn't matter who wins the Rangers jersey series. As long as Montreal, Pittsburgh, and Washington all wins, we get that dream matchup well before both of these guys are in their prime.
Washington, Pittsburgh, how could you argue with that? It's going to be the most exciting series. And
I'm going to watch all seven games, which speaks volumes about how big that series could be for hockey.
The thing I want to see is just Crosby coming across the ice and Ovechkin absolutely flattening him.
It would be a sick series. I think hockey fans everywhere, big and small, would have raging erections from it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how to effectively use those erections.
Lil Nick about to rape the market. If we talk about money, baby, now we talking.
Money, you my monster.
Yeah.
Money, you my
fuck bitches. Fuck bitches. Yeah, bitches.
Now, normally I agree with my boy Lil Wayne there, get money, fuck bitches, but it's almost summertime, everyone's going home, the nice weather's got everyone feeling good, the ladies are looking good, so we know, gentlemen, you know, Poontang's on the mind right now, and we know that if you're listening to this podcast and you had 20 minutes out of your day to listen, you're probably not getting a lot the way things are right now. So we're going to spit a little bit of knowledge for you and enter the world of pickup artists. And we're going to talk, first of all, about a book called The Game by Neil Strauss. It's leather bound and smells of rich mahogany. Kind of a cult classic among people our age and on the internet. It talks a little bit about the pickup artist's world. Paul, tell us a little bit more about that book.
Well, yeah, Neil Strauss, he was a little bit of a nerdy, kind of bald kid, and he went into this world of pickup artists. He met one pickup artist named Mystery, who was this tall magician freak who just had this way with women. So he goes into the society, he goes to his workshop, he starts to learn all the techniques of how to attract women, and from there, he's like becomes one of the best pickup artists in the world. He's able to pick up supermodels. It's like it's amazing how it really doesn't matter about looks. It's almost what you do, and women are more attracted to status, which was another interesting thing he talked about.
It's a true rags-to-bitches story for Neil Strauss. The book has a lot of useful tips, and I think it's written from almost a self-help perspective to give regular guys tips on how to be more comfortable with women and how to get women better. It talks about a lot of weird techniques that are borderline sketchy, things like neuro-linguistic programming, and you know, step-by-step methods for picking up women or getting women into a threesome. And I didn't like those parts of the book, but what I really liked about the book was towards the end, it all kind of comes together and you realize, you know what, if I'm a cool guy and I exude confidence and, you know, people generally like me, I'm not a douchebag, that is a turn on to girls.
I think it is a lot about confidence. Like, you'll probably notice that when you go out and you never really understand, like, how it is that you get laid. It's always a mystery. It's like you wake up and you feel lucky. That's how it is. But these guys have, like, discovered the secret.
Yeah, they've got a lot of tactics for it. They've got a lot of weird little things that you can do. And I didn't take that away from the book. I didn't like that part about it, and it made me feel a little dirty reading it. But what I did draw from it is, be a cool guy, have confidence, and, you know, don't be afraid to get rejected once in a while, and you'll be all right with bitches. All right, that's done now. That's out of the way. I don't want to risk some girl eventually listening to this, or, you know, the six guys that are listening to think less of me. So let's spin it back to hockey a little bit. Let's talk end-of-season awards, since, by definition, the awards are supposed to be given out on the 82 games that have been played so far, not the 16 that are remaining.
Yeah, well, I guess we can start off with the Hart Trophy. I don't know if we're
going to have... The big one, the MVP.
I don't know if we're going to have any argument over this. Definitely, for me, it has to be Ovechkin. Amazing seasons, one of the best seasons in a while. He hits, he just plays at full speed, he scores, he can pass, he leads his team by example. The only other candidates I can possibly see coming in, there's a case for Malkin, who carried the team when Crosby went down. But this is like the most valuable player to your team. It's kind of hard to pick Malkin when now he's playing with Hossa and when he was playing with Crosby. So I'm taking Ovechkin as the Hart Trophy winner.
As someone who only knows maybe two dozen NHL players, I'm going to agree with you that it's Ovechkin. Let's talk about something I probably have even less knowledge on. The Calder Trophy, my favorite as far as NBA trophies go to follow, the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, there's three or four candidates that could go up for the Calder Trophy. Patrick Kane is my choice for the Calder Trophy, number one overall pick. He's only like 170 pounds, soaking wet. He's able to throw up a ton of points this year on a terrible Blackhawks team.
Now, have you seen him soaking wet?
I have seen him soaking wet, but he was with Yuri Tsalusi at the time, and Adam was with the video camera. And
blocking your view, of course.
Yes, it was, but I mean...
All right, we disagree on this one. I don't have the stats to back it up, but I like what I've seen from Nicholas Backstrom of the Washington Capitals backing up Ovechkin, and I really feel that because Washington, you know, made the playoffs, they're deserving of at least 2, 3, 4, 5 award winners. And so Backstrom's getting Rookie of the Year to go with Ovechkin's MVP. And of course, Olaf Kolzig's Vezina Trophy, the award that has eluded him his whole illustrious Hall of Fame career.
I'm going to have to take Kolzig for the Vezina because he's...
Raycroft, close second.
Raycroft, close second. He had an amazing year, Andrew Raycroft. Amazing year.
Did he get in 20 games?
I think he got in 20 games. He put up 2 wins, and his GAA was around 4, actually. So
you could be a number 4 starter in the National League of Baseball with a goals against average like that.
The thing with that, though, is to have a high goals against average. It really motivates the team to put up a high goals for.
Yeah, I don't think the Leafs would have scored as many goals as they did if Raycroft wasn't a complete sieve in those 20 games.
Kolzig, number 1. Raycroft, number 2. And for number 3, I'm going to have to take the real winner, Evgeny Nabokov. 46 wins, 2.2 GAA, led the team, played the most games of anybody in the NHL. One of the best. One of the reasons why the Sharks were second in the league in points.
No disagreement there. I drafted Jagr and Kiprusoff in the first 2 rounds of my fantasy draft, thinking they'd have a shot. They did not. Brizgalov got me just as many points as those two bums. I agree with you on Nabokov. I think there's one major trophy left to talk about. The Norris Trophy that will eventually be named the Nicklas Lidström Trophy.
Yeah, this one, once again, no contest. You have to take Nicklas Lidström, 70 points, another amazing season, second in the league in plus-minus. He's a machine. Like, how many freaking years in a row does he have to finish in the top 2 in voting?
And there's just one final award, the Will Chamberlain Award for Most Bitches Banged. And I'm going to give that one to my boy, Scotty Upshaw, just because newfie bitches are easy. And that is real talk to all y'all.
Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. It's really, 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 really real talk. It's really, 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 really real talk. It's really, 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 really real talk.
It's really, 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 really real talk, nigga.